Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Good to have you here, Terry.
Thanks. Good to be here.
We got fun things lined up today. In this 7 o'clock hour, we're going to do our National Day of calendar, see what other trouble we can get ourselves into. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, not only do we got good stories of the day for you, we're also going to welcome in the Central Chamber Chorale.
Awesome.
They're going to preview their concert coming up for us. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. After Terry and I are done hanging out, we are going to get into Morning Magazine for the day. Janelle Weir is going to join us, a horticultural educator. She'll be here at 10:30. We will, I've got them both scheduled at, no, that's not right.
Yeah. Everyone's coming at 10:30.
Everybody's going to be here at 10:30.
Who else is coming? We just don't know when.
The way I actually want to do Morning Magazine from now on is just have everybody in at once. And I thought it'd be more efficient.
You know, as a regular on Morning Magazine, I'll pass.
I want to challenge myself as an interviewer, Terry. And from now on, I want to just have as many people in as possible and just see how it goes. You know, we'll find out together, everybody. No, actually, in part one today, we're going to have Mandy Mayock in, Associate Dean with Applied Technology, and Cole Schmidt, Apprenticeship Advisor and Pathways Navigator with Mid-State Technical College.
Awesome.
And then at 10:30, we'll welcome in Janelle Weir. Looking forward to that.
So is that just like a little bag of tricks you have over there? Like,
yeah.
Like first you have two 10:30 sheets, and then you just like reach in this drawer, and all of a sudden Mid-State's coming.
Poof. For somebody as organized as I am, I should never have things mixed up. I analyze, I go over things, I overthink everything. None of that should ever happen to me. All this stuff we're looking forward to, and really looking forward to the Chamber Chorale going to be in today. That's going to be a lot of fun. Love talking with them. They got a great concert coming up. I want to talk a little bit about the history of them and how many singers they have, all that fun stuff. Looking forward to it.
Is it a Christmas concert?
Yes, I believe it is. Let me double check. It is the Central Chamber Chorale Folk Songs and Hymns.
Okay.
Their 51st season, by the way, everybody.
You do know I'm gearing up for Christmas.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I know. I actually have a folder full of Christmas stuff just getting as we get closer to this because of the years I've been working with you.
What are you waiting for? What are you saving it for?
I'm thinking of everybody other than you. I'm thinking,
right away. I see everyone where I rank.
Other things going on today here at the station. A little bit later at 6:05, Wisconsin a football show. We're going to have Coach Jim Leonard on the airwaves. Always good to have him on. I've really been enjoying getting to hear more from Coach Leonard. I grew up a big fan of his when he was at UW, when he was at Baltimore and all these other teams. Don't really remember hearing a lot of interviews with him. Always a guy that you saw, you knew where he was on the field. You could not miss him, as far as somebody who likes defense like I do and everything. But never really heard him talk that much. It's been fun to hear him talk, been able to talk about this season. I'm really hoping they retain him and keep him as head coach. I'd like to see that.
I'm really hoping he turns things around a little bit.
That too. But
having a rough start.
You got to give him time to get his own recruits in and that kind of thing. But nowadays, I'll say this, Terry. If you're a college football fan, it has never been quicker to turn things around. All you got to do is look at Tennessee to see that. That this is the way of the world now with transfer portals and the NIL and all this. College football's really grown in that way. Part of the reason Wisconsin did what they did in firing Coach Crist was because of this, because it's such a different day now.
Well, and it's awesome for him to get the opportunity.
Yeah,
and I think we've got a lot of good out in front of us.
Mm-hmm. I did want to mention as well just a little bit more of our schedule for this week. Tomorrow we've got Wisconsin hockey on the radio. Puck night. Wisconsin hockey at Michigan State. That game, our pregame will start off for that at 5:30 tomorrow. On Saturday, right at 9 a.m., Wisconsin Badgers football hosting Maryland. Our coverage starts at 9 a.m., so that means that there will be no over-the-back fence for Saturday, and the Sunshine Polka Show will be moved to 7 a.m. So keep that in mind, everybody.
Ooh, Tim, adjust your alarm, man.
Yeah. Get your polka fix early on Saturday. And is there any better like pregame like than polka music to lead
for
you into
Badger game?
A Badger game?
No, it's perfect.
Going to be great.
Perfect.
One other thing that I wanted to touch on, Terry, and certainly want to talk about anything going on at the United Way, you know, because that's where I wanted to go. It's campaign season, and I know it's a busy time of year for you guys. Where would you like to start? You got 100 things going on over there.
Yeah, burning the candle. That's why before when you thought we should get in some trouble, I'm like, I don't know. My candle's already burning at both ends.
Right.
Like, That might not be good. So we are definitely in campaign season, you know, trying to raise as many dollars as possible to help support local programs. And I think what's really important about that is that no donation is too small, no donation is too large. So any amount that a community member wants to contribute really makes a huge impact. And all of the dollars stay here in our community. So we serve Southwood County and Adams County, and we even keep that separate. So if the dollars are raised in Adams, they support programs in Adams. Dollars raised in Southwood County support programs in Southwood County. We have 29 programs that we help to fund, 10 initiatives and 6 coalitions. And when we are here in 2 weeks, on November 16th for the annual Radiothon, we'll be digging much deeper into that. And so I've got several guests, several partner programs. I've got Craig Brown, our campaign chair, Amy from our team from 211 to really, you know, dig into what that programming means. So, you know, that's really where we're at. If you've made a donation to United Way this year, thank you very much. It's very much appreciated. If you're still not sure or if you haven't been asked, consider yourself asked. And I encourage you to get involved. Any dollar amount is very much appreciated. You can qualify for our sweepstakes if you give a dollar a week. Mm-hmm. And so if you really sit back and think about that, we all probably, regardless of what our income level is, probably all of us can scrape up a dollar a week. Mm-hmm. If you've not been a giver. And if you do that, you qualify for our sweepstakes, which is we have 5 $1,000 cash prizes. Those are sponsored, so that does not come out of donors. You know, doesn't come out of, like, if James gives $1,000, I'm not giving that away for a prize, right? That's coming from a few companies that I think it would be important that we call out. Aspirus Health, Gunderson Moundview Hospital and Clinics down in Adams, Prevail Bank, Williams Heating and Plumbing, and then also Next Home Partners.
Big shout out to all of them.
Yeah, so they all provide those prizes because they certainly recognize the need for bringing new donors to the campaign. Yeah. And also they see the value in people giving that dollar a week. Mm-hmm. You know, like it doesn't create a hardship, but it creates so much change. Imagine if 10 people do it, and then imagine if 1,000 people do it, right? It really is so, so impactful. So that's really where we're at with campaign. We have about 50% of the campaign in, like, actually recorded in our database. So though, that still leaves 50%, and that's quite a lot.
Yes.
So the sweepstakes deadline is Friday, November 18th. And so if you want to qualify for that, get your donation into us before that time. You can do that in a variety of ways. You can visit our website and you can give there with your credit card. You can mail us a check. You can stop by the office with cash or check. We have also a lot of our retirees that actually make a distribution from one of their retirement accounts because then it's tax-free for them. So there's a lot of different ways that you can do it, and we're open to any of those. So, you know, just connect with us and make that donation. The other kind of cool thing, because, you know, Christmas is right around the corner.
Right around the corner. Yes, I'm aware. Somebody told me that just a little bit ago, actually.
Anyway, a couple years ago, we started a wreath silent auction. Yeah. And so it's really just for fun, but also a way to, you know, add dollars to the campaign. And so typically this event adds about $1,000 to our campaign. And so, you know, that's nothing lost on that.
No.
And so what's happening with the wreath silent auction is right now through November 10th, which is next Thursday, we are taking donations of wreaths. So you can sign up to provide a wreath. We have 20 spots available right now. 10 of those 20 are spoken for.
All right. Wow.
So we will run the auction no matter what. So if we have a dozen at that time, then that's what we'll run it with. But whatever we have as of November 10th is what we will run with. So it's pretty awesome. People donate these wreaths, and they can be fresh or artificial. They can be lit or non-lit. Holiday themed and a minimum of 12 inches. There's a few little minor details that you should look at on the website or give us a call. But then they are decorated in whatever theme you want to decorate those in, and then they go up for silent auction on our website and through our social media, and it's just a really it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know you got one last year for your mom, and it's fun, like, watching your bid. I don't know. It's just,
I forgot how much fun that could be.
It's something different and, you know, something just kind of exciting. So a good way, again, to support the campaign, maybe in a non-traditional way. And so the actual dates of the auction, so you might say, hey, I'm not making a wreath. Like, that is outside of my comfort level. Or I might make a wreath, but you're not going to want to see it.
No, that's the case case with me. I tried like eight times.
So, though, the silent auction dates are Thursday, December 1st through Tuesday, December 6th. Mm. And so that's when you can see all of the wreaths online and bid for those. And then you have it in plenty of time because it closes on Tuesday, December 6th. So on Wednesday, you could come pick up the wreath and have it for the whole holiday season.
Yeah.
Or, like someone else might have done, you yes. could gift it to someone else.
Was able to give it, make it an early Christmas present for my mom. One of the, you know, I got her a little thing for her to open up on that day and stuff. But she just loved that.
Yeah.
You know, the only catch here is once you do this for somebody, they want it the next year and the next year. So you got to get in on this bidding.
Well, yeah, and I'm
need
sure
more
that
wreaths.
I mean I'm predicting that your mom has more than one door.
Yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, so. She does. Yeah, she's told me that actually. Right at me. I would love to see more wreaths on here just so my odds are better of winning one of these things. So.
Yeah. And so just, you know, just a few ideas if you're interested in doing this. Some people have decorated them maybe like in their favorite, in a sports theme.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, but, or companies, we've had a few businesses that have, you know, not put like slap their business name on mm-hmm. it, but done it in the colors of their business, you
yeah.
know, so or something like that, or a certain theme.
Remember when the gnomes thing got really big?
Yeah,
didn't somebody do like that? Like
yep, we've had. Yeah, I think both years we've had some little gnome, little gnome wreaths, and you kind of always have some woodsy theme and some a little bit more. Very traditional Christmas, and then some like kind of more of the Victorian, like the, you know, like the floral and the gold and that kind of thing. But we're open to whatever.
I think thinking about something that you would like to see when you walked up to somebody's door,
yeah.
you know, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's lots of ideas. And so,
yeah.
You know, and there's lots of craft stores around. So if you are a crafty person, you know, bring us your most beautiful wreath. But we do need you to sign up to reserve a spot.
And you can do that by going to uwswac.org. Be sure to do that as soon as you can if you're planning on doing that. And make plans, everybody, because we are just days away, November 16th, 7 to 10:30, the WFHR Radiothon featuring the United Way of South Wood and Adams Counties. One of our favorite days of the year, Terry. We're getting to do this all over again. I look forward to this so much, and I have really since Bob really taught me about it and told me what it was early back in the day when I came back to WFHR. To him, it was a really important day. It was a day where we try so hard at this station to spend as much time as we can putting back into our community, giving back to the community that's done so much for us and kept a WFHR alive for 80 plus years. We're celebrating a birthday this anniversary, you know? It's kind of cool. So what can we do? Well, we flip the script. We go right back at everybody and we try to do as much as we can. That's where a day like this is so unique and special to us and to our community. It's a chance where, I've mentioned this before, you and I, we do these conversations, opening monologue, the morning show. You join us on Morning Magazine, but it never feels like there's enough time. With the Radiothon, not only do we get to stretch our legs a little bit and really get into talking with some of these people that are benefited, some of these you know, nonprofits and other organizations you guys work with, but we really get it, like, at the end of every Radiothon that I've been a part of, I can't help but be sitting back and have goosebumps and think, my God, you know, I talk to you all the time and I feel like I know the United Way, but it's not until after that Radiothon that I sit back and I'm kind of like, oh, and it's happened every single year where I'm just kind of taken back by how much is done by our United Way, how many places, how many people you guys are able to impact from really... If I'm being blunt here, not enough funds, you
sure.
know, to do what you want to do, but you're still able to make use of the money you got and put it into the right things. And it's another thing that we appreciate so much about the United Way is making the most out of what you have. And I think that we all can learn from that, too. I know for a fact that other nonprofits have learned from what you guys do and have seen that as a bit of an example in many ways in the community, especially early, you know, young nonprofits out there, businesses mm-hmm. just starting out and everything. The Radiothon is our opportunity to not only say thank you to you guys, but to show our appreciation with our investments. And I know they usually call them donations. To me, it's an investment. One thing I did want to bring up with you real quick, we're doing it a little different this year as far as calling in. We used to have people call into the station here. We're going to go directly, no middleman this time. We're going directly right to you guys, right?
So we're going to have, yeah. So when you make the phone call, you're actually calling the United Way office. Mm-hmm. And a little bit strategically on that, because we've evolved to many people wanting to use a credit card. Yeah. And so if we do it from here, we have to like write that information down. And I don't necessarily love that idea. So so if we have Stephanie do it right at our office, she can just input it in the system right while she's talking to you, process anything like that, any paperwork, any receipting, you know, anything like that that needs to happen, she can do that right from her desk by answering from there. And then if it is a pledge that the donor would like to have read over the airwaves, she'll just zip that over to me and we will be able to read that over the air. So yeah, it'll be great.
Just another reminder about the event, you can make for businesses out there, make a minimum donation of $500, max of $1,000. WFHR will match your donation in advertising. Big shout out to Civic Media for doing that. We really appreciate them doing those kind of things. Basically, if you are a new advertiser, an old advertiser, you start a new campaign and boom, which I don't know, as we're getting closer to the holidays here and everything, I got to think almost everybody is doing that kind of thing. So that's going to be a lot of fun part of this, too. We're looking forward to all these things. It's going to be great.
Yeah, so that's a really great opportunity. And I think, you know, anything that we can do and, you know, all of these things that you're talking about, of how people can invest in and be engaged. And think about that. You can be part of that for as little as a dollar a week.
That's it. And I'm glad you brought that back up. So my mom and I were talking about this when she retired. And one of the things that she wanted to do, and she's probably going to do, though, as you mentioned, the retirees having some taken out of there.
Yep.
She didn't know that was an option at the time. So when we were first talking about this, I'm going to pick up where she left off. When she retired, I'm going to start doing the donations, the amount that she was doing. The sheet that you get, figuring out math could be a little like tricky for some people. Trust your calculator. Trust your dad, who's very good, who is a human calculator.
Use your cell phone that has a calculator
on it.
Exactly.
Exactly. Everybody's got a calculator now. Everybody's got one. But take your time with that. And we greatly appreciate you doing that. It's not just us. It's not just Terry, the rest of the staff at the United Way, and even us here at WFHR, who we like to think are very good friends with United Way and everything. It is so many individuals out there. And oftentimes, Terry, one of the things the ALICE report has taught me, individuals who may not even know they need help, individuals who may not even realize they're on the cusp of needing help or any of those things. So we all understand the world.
Or doing just really well how they are, but they're one one crisis away from a financial challenge or a financial issue or maybe a financial crisis, right? So you're going along fine and everything is good and paycheck to paycheck, but the car breaks down or the refrigerator dies or whatever it might be. And, you know, you brought up Allison. I will tell you that on Friday of next week, we have a small section of the ALICE report being released, and it's around veterans. So that'll be released on Veterans Day on the 11th. But then for our morning magazine spot on the 15th, Ben will be coming to talk with you about that ALICE report. So that'll be a little bit more in-depth, obviously, during morning magazine. And then the next day is Radiothon.
Looking forward to it. That's going to be a blast. And back-to-back right there. I like that. That's going to set it up really well. We will take a break. We'll come back into our National Day of Calendar. It's Terry and James taking it through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. We're not even 20 minutes into the show. We're already getting into trouble,
Terry. We're just blowing up the world here.
It is time.
You see something? I see it. Yep. National Men Make Dinner Day.
Yep, it's coming up. As we dive into our National Day of Calendar, Terry can't help herself, for this November 3rd, 2022, 7:26 on the clock. It is, let's start right there. National Men Make Dinner Day.
On my way here, I was like, what am I going to make for dinner today? See? Now I'm just going to send a text.
You don't even have to worry about it. Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. I will send a heads up to my father and let him know. Actually, he'll be excited about that, I think. He's got a couple of meals he's been wanting to make. That's a great one, though. Any chance for guys to get a chance to, get in the kitchen, make some stuff, especially if it's been a while. I love cooking, so I don't know. I can't speak for others.
I digress. I love cooking. I've got Phil Hartley making faces at me through the window.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's not as if we're trying to do a radio show or anything like that. It's not a big deal.
Well, but, he's a friend.
He is a friend. It is International Stout Day. International Stout Day. Do you like stout?
Yeah, I do. I, like one, though. You know, exactly. Like I can't.
Same here.
There's, it's way, it's just so too filling for me.
I don't mind a stout so or any of those once in a while, but like one, two, and I'm done. Like, yeah. They're too. They're almost too much for me.
So there's. I have a favorite.
Too heavy, I should say.
I have a favorite, but it's not. It's funny. It's not dark. It's white. But J.P. Casper White Stout. It's from Whole Hog, and it is like it's so good. I can drink one bottle, maybe two, but it's like dessert. Like it is fabulous. You'll have to try it sometime.
Huh. International Project Management Day. So you got a project you got going. I mean, today's the day to
manage it.
no other day. Every other day, just let it run itself. You know, see how it goes. But yeah, okay. So I said, it is if you have that particular person in your office that does a lot of that, maybe a good day to give them a shout out. Maybe even learn a little bit of what they do. I know so many people that would be better. It would just their life would be improved so much just by a little organization. I'm saying that though as somebody who probably goes too far with that and is way too organized and doesn't live in the moment enough. So, but there's a balance there.
I agree with you. And sometimes what's hard is when you it could be your kids, it could be people that you supervise or that you work with or whatever. When you see them struggling because they're not organized, and it's like you want to step in, but
can't do it.
Can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
Teach men fish. Teach men fish. There have been smart home day. Smart home day. There have been so many tech developments and improvements over the past few decades, and there is no doubt our homes look a whole lot different to what they used to. They have become a lot more high tech over the years, and as a result, we are able to live more convenient lives. So this is a day kind of like highlighting our tech in our new home.
How do you feel about that?
It's a give and take for me because there's some stuff where I'm like, okay, this is fantastic. And then there's other things like, oh boy, I don't know where this is going to end up. That's the world we live in.
I think about like a smart thermostat. Okay, like some of that stuff I can buy into a little bit. But like my mom just got a new stove. Okay. And it's a smart stove because that's pretty much you can buy some that aren't. But yeah.
Interesting.
So you can connect to your phone so you can connect it to your Wi-Fi and then connect your phone to it and your oven
I'm glad you brought that up because I feel like some stuff have gone too far. Like we got all these parts, we don't know what to do with them. Throw them in a toaster. Let's have smart refrigerators,
but let's not have enough cars because we don't have any chips.
Right
But but it's just weird to me, like, for me, in my mind, like, I'm just like you. Like, some is good, some is not good. But I kind of sit there going, like, it's one more thing that's going to go wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, the more parts and the more you... A toaster is perfectly fine on its own. We don't really... There's no real improvement other than making maybe a different size or whatever, but even to have those.
I kind of would like it.
But making a smart toaster...
To make a smiley face on my bread.
Okay, though. See, something like that. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what a smart toaster can do for you, Terry. Put a smiley face on there. I don't know. Maybe a Christmas decoration. I'm not sure.
Wow. You sound so bitter.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I will say, the whole rise of the doorbell cameras... That seems to be, any negatives about that seem to be far outweighed by the positives. Those things seem to be great. So to me, that seems like I'm really glad that technology has gotten so much more simplified and affordable for people. But then there's the other side of it. Like, nobody has been able to explain to me the point of a smart refrigerator. Like, I have yet to hear somebody give me a legitimate reason of why it's going to... It doesn't tell you when your milk's going bad or any of these things. Like,
What about the, now that we brought this up, the transparent door on some refrigerators? Yeah, so you can just like knock on it and then the light will come on and you can see in the fridge. Why the heck do you want people to see in your fridge? I've got so much other crap to clean. My fridge is fairly clean inside, but the last thing I need to do is make sure all my bottles are straight.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm not facing my refrigerator. Yeah.
No, not happening.
There's the other one with these two where it's what was it? There was one I saw the other day that it made completely no sense to me. Like, we've gone too far with this. Like
remember the day when smart technology was the clapper?
Yes. Well,
and that's totally fine. You crawl in bed, you got to turn off the light.
There's certain stuff that I feel like we should just be focusing on that and just making it more accessible. I'll never forget my Nana when I was growing up wanted so badly something that would. Her hands are dirty from cleaning or messing with chicken or something like that. Something that would turn the sink on for. So she didn't have to turn the dial. And now, of course, they have those things that you can touch
and
everything.
Well, they even have You know, like when you use a public restroom and they have the sensor, you can buy those for your home faucet now, where you don't have to even have to touch it at all.
See, I think that may not be the same type of thing we're talking about, but I think it's similar in the same wheelhouse.
Dang.
Mm. It's a new world. It's a new world that you have to give 110% in. Always try your hardest, everybody.
Cliche day.
Everything happens for a reason. Cliche day is with the next one we're celebrating. A cliche is a phrase used over and over and over, an element of artistic work that occurs in films or music such as often. So is there a better candidate for the day of the year than cliche day? After all, it comes up over and over and over just like cliches. YOLO. There's so many cliches that are overused, and so many of them that I use.
But it is kind of funny too. It is. Yeah.
It's one more example, one more chance for us to take a step back and look at the English language and just marvel at it. I don't know. I personally think it's amazing. National Housewife Day.
Okay, I'm finding a little irony.
Mm.
It's National Housewife Day and National Men Make Dinner Day.
Yep.
That does not align.
I feel like it kind of does. Maybe.
You're giving the housewife a break.
Yeah, okay. Break there.
All right.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh gosh, and it's sandwiches for supper then?
Yeah, right. That's where I thought you were going. It's National Men Make Dinner Day, and it just happens to be National Sandwich Day. One of the easiest things in the world to make.
I'm not a huge cold sandwich person.
No.
I do like tuna or mixed. Kind of, but just like sandwich meat, not my favorite.
I like sandwiches. I wanted to focus on National Housewife Day, actually, because I feel like that is an important one. And it's something that we never give enough credit to. Not one generation has ever given enough credit to moms that stay at home or work from home or any of these things. If you don't think being a mom is a full-time job, and I don't mean like 9 to 5, I mean 24/7, the rest of your life, go ahead and ask a mom, when's the last time you got 8 hours of sleep? I mean, any mom in his, I don't care if her kids are 20 some years old. Ask her the last time she got 8 hours of sleep. Ask her the last time she had a day where at the end of it, she wasn't like, how the hell did I make it through this? Like, just go ahead and think about that. Put yourself in the shoes of somebody like that. There are no breaks. There are no, punching out and having a lunch break kind of thing. There's none of this. There's not one bit of appreciation for what you do either by society, overall, majority-wise. That has to change. That incredibly has to change, especially when we look at what happened with the pandemic. And the overwhelming majority of people that were affected that had to quit their jobs were single moms or moms who were working from home and everything. Got to have a little more appreciation for these people.
Absolutely.
This is part of the foundation of our country,
and
is these moms doing this work.
And if a family has the ability financially to have mom stay home, I mean, or dad, either one, I guess, think about all of the extra enrichments, like for those kids. And I don't know.
Yes.
I think it's definitely underrated and definitely deserves more credit.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Terry mentioned, it is National Sandwich Day. do you have a go-to sandwich though, Terry? You don't seem like you really like sandwiches.
I just don't really love cold cuts, but I probably salami would be my choice if I,
nice.
You know what I mean? But I've got one at home that is ham and one that is turkey. And so, you know, we always have stuff there. The kids like sandwiches. I just don't love it. I'd rather grab like a slice of the meat and maybe a piece of cheese. And I'm not adverse to that. I don't know. It's just not my thing.
There is a commonly known story about the history of the world of the word sandwich, and it's attributed to John Montag, the fourth Earl of Sandwich. One piece of that history that has been tossed about is the meaning of the word sandwich and the town it comes from. Sandwich is a city in the Shire of Kent in England in the United Kingdom. Originally, the word was spelled Sandwick, like W-I-C at the end, and then Sandwick. And eventually, in 1086, a Sandwice.
Huh.
The name of the town came from its purpose, and its claim to fame became it was a market town. So what does sandwich actually mean? The exact definition is market town on sandy soil. So, boy, the next time you're hungry for a market town on sandy soil, you know.
Don't you get like sand, like think about sand in your mouth?
Yes, immediately. Ugh. Yeah, which is one of the worst.
So what's your go-to sandwich?
Peanut butter and jelly. Easily. Otherwise,
we were talking about cold cuts.
Pastrami. actually, I'm weird about sandwiches. I like I can take like just a good bread, get a bunch of slices of pepperoni, boom. That's okay. A sandwich to me.
Like, yeah, well, that's
pastrami,
not.
Pastrami, you know, roast beef,
sure.
You know, BLT.
I also, well, BLT, absolutely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love that. I don't really count that. I mean, it is a sandwich, but I don't count that when I think about a sandwich for lunch.
There are few things that are better than an incredibly well-made BLT. It's such a simple sandwich, but when it's done right, ooh.
But the bacon has to be crispy.
It has to be. Has to be. Yes, I couldn't agree more.
No wiggly bacon.
We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Getting funky around here. Hope you're having a good Thursday out there.
I know, I'm usually here on Fridays. I was just going to say, when does the Christmas bumper music start?
You are relentless.
It could even be the Grinch.
You are relentless,
Grinch.
Terry.
Grinch.
It is one of the things I like about you, and also one of the things that drives me crazy.
You brought it up. You started it today.
I did. It's my fault. Christmas music, we got that working. That is going to be around the corner. That is coming up. We got some fun things lined up for that with this year. But we will be doing our 30 Hours of Christmas again. We're very excited about that. We've been working behind the scenes on that quite a bit, actually.
I just meant a little bumper music.
I see what you mean.
Just, instead of that, just these little snippets.
Yeah. I might be able to do something about that. Might have to work in that. We'll see.
Whoa, everybody hear that?
Uh-huh. National Sandwich Day is one of the things we were talking about, Terry. And so what exactly are we celebrating? It may seem obvious, but there is some ambiguity. A website recently conducted a poll asking people if various things are or are not sandwiches.
Mm.
The great debate. Now you watch. We're gonna do this story, and I'm gonna get an email at the end of it. How dare you say this isn't a sandwich or something like that?
I hope you do.
Well, it'd be better than some of the emails I've gotten recently. I'll tell you that. So let's look at the bottom here. We'll start from the bottom, go on up. Ravioli.
What?
Just 2% say yes. I don't know.
What?
I don't know why people consider that a sandwich. Ravioli. Maybe because it's like it's got meat sandwiched in a noodle.
That's weird.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. That's not a sandwich to me.
That's not a thing. Did you say 2% said it is?
Yes.
And 98% said I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know why that made the list, other than comedic purposes. Calzones come in at number 13. Yeah, I'd say that's. I mean, That's not a traditional sandwich, but I don't got a problem with it. Being called a sandwich.
I think it's not a sandwich.
I'm okay with that. This is not. I can't see anything on this list that's like a hill I'm willing to die on. Like, no, this is definitely a sandwich.
Pick one. Pick one right now to die on.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
I'm looking at the. I got one. I got one. Actually, I got one. All right. Great. All right. So calzones, 5% of people say yes, that's a sandwich. Wraps, 6% of people say yes. It's strange that burritos get twice as much support as wraps do, because wraps are usually just rolled up sandwiches.
So, but a wrap is a wrap. A wrap is...
It's a different thing.
Yeah. Sandwiches have bread.
It's actually called a wrap. Now, there you go, Terry. That's the thing to me that makes a sandwich is bread.
Yeah.
To me, that's...
Who are these people?
Empanadas at 6%, and then quesadillas at 8%.
No, not sandwiches.
Here's where they get me upset. Number 9, tacos. 10% of people consider a taco a sandwich. You leave tacos alone. Tacos are perfectly fine as they are. You call them a taco. If I ever hear another human being call a taco a sandwich.
I have never heard that in my whole life.
I don't know what I'm capable
of. Have you ever heard that?
No. Not a
I was actually going to make tacos for dinner, but now my husband's going to.
No, nice, yes. Nobody in human history has ever called a taco a sandwich. I genuinely believe that.
No, is dumb.
I feel very confident in that sentence.
Whoever didn't pay the bill for these lists better pay it. Yeah. So we get the real ones.
It's like they wanted to have like 15, but they didn't have enough to like round it up to 15 or so.
They couldn't get past number 3.
I don't know. What is a sandwich, guys? Tacos? I don't know. It fills out the list. No, we'll never use tacos. But then when they can't come up with enough things, like, okay, throw tacos.
But let's put ravioli on there.
Right, yeah. Burritos at number 8, 12% of people. Number 7, if I wasn't going to get bent out of shape about tacos, I would about gyros. Or gyros, whatever you want to call them. Every
gyro.
Greek person I grew up around was called them gyros. So
I don't call that a sandwich either.
No, not at all. Pita bread, it's a.
Oh, but don't say bread.
Yes, but pita. Pita, but it's not technical. It's not like traditional bread or that kind of thing.
Yeah, nope. For me, those are not sandwiches.
Now, here's where things get a little debatable if we're going to stick to the bread thing. Number six, hot dogs. This one is a classic question that usually is the one that creates the most debate. 26% of people believe that is a sandwich, essentially because of the bread and things. But it's not. It's a hot dog. It's not a sandwich.
Yeah, not a sandwich.
No. Eggs Benedict. 27% say yes, like as an open-faced sandwich.
No. I say no.
That's another thing to be. A sandwich is closed. Either it has another piece of bread on top of it, or it folds.
I don't have a problem with, like, an open-faced sandwich. No. Or, like, have you ever had bread with... we used to do this with leftover, like, beef, like pot roast. So you do bread, pot roast, and then gravy.
Yeah.
And so, like, that would be, like, an open-faced sandwich. But I still don't know that I would just... If you say we're having sandwiches for lunch... It is not anything that we've talked about so far.
Right, exactly. Fail. That's right. That's a great way to put it. If you're saying, hey, guess what, everybody, we're going to have sandwiches and you show up with tacos, I'm not going to be disappointed, but I'm going to be confused.
Right, like I'm going to love you, but I'm going to think you're nuts.
Yes, be very confused, yes. Number four on the list, avocado toast. 38% say yes, that's a sandwich.
No.
Hmm. I can't even remember the last time I had that, but I'm going to follow you on this one.
If you had toast, a piece of toast in the morning with like butter and jam
on
it.
Sandwich.
You're not calling it a sandwich.
Yeah. Number three on the list, burgers. Come on, people. Can't we at least agree on this? Like, a burger's a burger. 62% of people believe a burger is a sandwich. No. I guess if you need that, if you want to call
it
that.
Did you ever see, but you go into like a, let's say you're at like a bar and grill, right? Mm-hmm. And you look at their menu. It typically says burgers and sandwiches.
Right.
It doesn't say sandwiches.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Good call. Yeah. And if bars are doing it, I mean, shouldn't we listen to bars?
Seriously, could we get more educated people answering these questions?
I feel like they did this list just to frustrate us. Like, literally just you and I. That's it.
And we're the only ones that have access to it?
Yeah, the only ones, yeah.
No one else can see it, ever.
And they finally get it right at number one, a PB&J. 98% say yes, it's a sandwich. A lot of people even call it a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. 98%. Who are these 2% of people not calling it a sandwich?
A lot of people call it a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. What else would you call it?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why they had to throw it.
Do you consider grilled cheese a sandwich?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, definitely.
Grilled cheese and BLT are kind of my... And then after that, then it's like cold, you know, cold stuff.
Yeah, pastrami, you know, your
cold cuts.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Bologna.
The best thing, November 26th, turkey sandwiches. Again, that leftover turkey. Like, I actually like that in some ways even more than the turkey itself in some ways. Just because I'm a sucker for bread. I love bread.
Yeah.
But I can't let this go. We got to go to a commercial break, and I can't let this go. Who are these 2% of people not calling a peanut butter and jelly sandwich a sandwich? You can just call it peanut butter and jelly. That's not a sandwich, though. That's bread with peanut butter and jelly. Like, just call it a sandwich.
Well, because we cannot have 100% agreement.
You're so right. Oxygen is good. Is it, though? Is it really? I'm not sure.
I'm just going to eat my peanut butter and jelly and decide.
Water's good for you. I'm not sure about that. I'm waiting for the science to come back on that one. I want to know if this whole breathing thing is good for me, if it's for me or not. My Uncle Joe said that it's not, you know, so good for you and everything, so I don't know. We'll take a break. Come back. Some more fun on Mornings
Uncle
on
WFHR. Joe.
Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you. We'll take it right to the top of the hour. Plenty coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We will kick things off with our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Talk to Paul Trombley. Looking forward to that. And Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club in there as well. It'd be a lot easier than ever to get hammered this holiday and faceplant onto your Christmas tree while your family laughs at you because Miller Lite just unveiled something called a tree keg stand.
Oh, did you ever do keg stands?
Yes, yeah, a long time ago. Yeah.
Me too, a long
Being
time ago.
Being tall is not a lot of fun when you're doing a keg stand.
Yeah, because you need to find tall people to hold you up.
Well, but they don't tell you that when the first time you're doing it. You don't even think of it. So your shortest friend happens to be the one trying to hold your leg up
good.
And everything. No. The tree keg stand, that turns your Christmas tree into a beer serving station. It's basically just a metal table you can fit a keg and ice bucket under. It's got holes in the top so you can feed the tap through the clip and into the branch. The top is about 3 feet off the ground on the trees sits on it. So it's like a normal stand, but they say it can hold trees up to 5 feet tall and 150 pounds. Each one will cost $50 at treekegstand.com. They go on sale at 10 a.m. this morning. If you want one, set a reminder and hope to get lucky. It sounds like they are in limited supply. They're also selling beer naments. Or oversized ornaments you can slip a beer can into and drink out of. Their website says to check back at 10 a.m. Eastern Time next Tuesday for those.
That sounds kind of cute.
So
you and I right away went to humans doing keg stands, and that's not even what it is. It's literally a tree stand that's a keg.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't picture that. No, I didn't expect that.
No.
I wasn't really sure what to expect with this thing. And they don't give you a huge, like, look of it.
Oh, it's kind of cute, but I think we could easily just build that ourselves.
I was just going to say.
Did you ever do that? Like, you're walking around, you see something, you're like, oh, I could just make that myself.
Absolutely, yeah, especially with my dad. Because my dad, that's my dad's whole, like, life.
So all you need is Richard's liquor. And you can do
basically,
that.
Basically, yes, yes. If you are getting a keg, especially, like you're half your job's
done. I do
done.
Like that. Not for anything to do with Christmas, but I like that Miller Lite, that tub around the bottom.
Oh, the tub, yeah.
I do like that. That'd be fun for like out at the pool. You know what I mean? You just fill it with ice.
Yes, yeah.
That's super
a good
cute.
Idea. Keeps the keg cold.
But yeah, no. Not going in my Christmas stuff.
More curious about the beer mints. Like, I don't really... the keg stand, I'm with you. I just make that myself.
Couldn't you just, like, make a garland out of beer cans?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could.
I mean, you'd have to empty them first.
Yeah, I suppose so. But but yes, yes. That, you could. The beer mints.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So it's an actual ornament you can drink. Like, it literally, but it could hang on your tree.
That's cute.
I like that. Also, looks like the if you have cats, the worst ornament you could buy.
Good point.
That only if you have cats, but it does look it looks like it was made strictly for cats to break. Like that's what it looks like.
That is kind of cute.
It is kind of cool looking. And look, I'm not going to begrudge anybody trying different things advertising
wise. Well, and if you have Miller Lite fans on your gift list, you know sometimes you just don't know what to get people anymore.
Yeah, you're so right.
So that'd be
about
kind of.
That.
I mean, it's kind of fun. Yeah, and it's usable. Yeah. It's consumable. So.
And I'm not seeing, because they haven't gone on sale yet, I'm not seeing I'm not seeing any prices or anything like that. So I don't know how expensive these are or anything. But, you know, I would say if you're, especially around the holidays, I choose my battles wisely, you know. And there's plenty of things that I see that I wouldn't mind, but my money is spoken for right now. Like, I've got gifts to buy. I got that kind of thing. So if this is something you want, maybe it is like you were saying, Terry. Maybe this is something maybe there's a builder in your life. You know, this would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Maybe build this or something.
So where can you get this stuff?
At treekegstand.com. Again, cool. That's treekegstand.com if you're interested. Just a couple of things I wanted to touch on before we get to the top of the hour. We Energies will be handing out the We Energy cookie books at Winterfield West parking lot today at 521 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. This will go from 10 to 2. You can learn a bit more about the cookie book at their website, we-energies.com. A big shout out to them for doing this.
It's really cool. And if you've never gotten one before, go get one. They're super sweet. There's always really good recipes in them. And
yeah.
They're fun.
You really set me up for that because I'm going to do that today. I have never done that before.
Yeah,
I'm
you
run
definitely
over there
have
and do
to.
That. Grab one for my mom or something today. And the Great Green Bay giveaway going on. New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway. Two tickets to the January 1st game, Packers versus Vikings. These are club tickets. Listeners, register at Dropbox locations for your chance to win. One name will be drawn from each location. And those individuals will receive a $50 gift card from the business and will become qualifiers for the Green Bay giveaway. Qualifiers will be drawn out of a hat, and one final winner will be selected. You can register at Hoosles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, Jennings in Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa.
And don't let the possibility of inclement weather turn you away from registering because these are indoor tickets.
That's right. That's
so
right.
It's awesome.
And if you would still like to be a Green Bay giveaway sponsor, give us a call at 424-1300. Today is the final day to be a part of this, so give us a call at 424-1300 and help us get these into all of our listeners' hands. It's a lot of fun. The New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway. Get your name into those boxes. Let's take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings at WFHR.